So that's a pretty cool story there with Liana, who's came to faith in Christ out at our Tiffin campus, and then moved to Bellevue, goes to Fremont campus, and now as we get ready to launch the Sandusky County, Sandusky campus, she's going to be a part of that launch team. So just giving us some testimonies of what God's been doing in and through our church. We got a special one next week, so you're going to want to come back for that one. I won't give you any more than that. It has something to do with Northwood. So, but anyways, so be praying for Pastor Luke. Be praying for the launch team as they get things ready. And I know they're going through the building up there and remodeling it and doing some different things, kind of like what we're doing out here. And so appreciate everybody enjoying our dust. It's coming together pretty quickly. Before I preach, though, I'd like to just take a moment and pray. I get the opportunity to talk to people out in the lobby. It's been kind of a week for some people. People are coming in a little wore out and a little distracted maybe. And we've had people who are dealing with health issues or family members dealing with health issues and work issues and stuff like that. So I want to take a moment and pray. And then there's also got people that are on vacation, which we're not praying for them. I just want to let you know people are on vacation. So some are on cruises. We'll just pray that the boat doesn't sink, but it's rainy every day. No, I'm kidding. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come back together as a church family and to worship you through just fellowshipping with each other and serving and singing and now hearing the message. And pray you'd help us to take in what your word has to say and evaluate it and then respond to it in a way that pleases you. Lord, I just want to pray for those here who just have had kind of a week, and there's just been a lot of stuff going on and a tendency to be distracted and think about those things. And those that are not here because of health issues, those that are on vacation even, Lord, we just want to pray that you'd be working in their lives. Help us that are here to stay focused in on you, that we wouldn't be distracted by those thoughts that we have or distracted by even me. Lord, but that your word would come through. And so we give this time to you as a continual act of worship. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as many of you know, we're in week three of a four-week Bold Move series. And what this is kind of a family chat type of situation where we're talking to our regular attenders and our members for these 4 weeks as we kind of look towards the future and what it is that God wants to do in and through us. The church, we continue to grow. All three campuses are in this situation. We're all making bold moves as it pertains to what the future holds and what God wants for us. You can listen to the messages from the last 2 weeks to find out some of those specifics. My lips took off. And then also grab a brochure, and that kind of explains a little bit more. But real quickly is we're asking God, because we believe this is the direction we need to go in, that that through our church family that we would be able to see over the next 4 years $750,000 or more. I mean, on the first week, again, you can listen to the message. I kind of broke it down, if it 750 or a million, what that would look like, and broken down. So that's what we're kind of shooting for. And again, we just want God to do whatever God's going to do. We know that he's going to provide for us to do whatever it is he wants to do. So last week and this week, we've been talking about that scary topic of giving, right? And so when we start talking about money, people get a little bit nervous, a little bit edgy oftentimes. But here's why we're doing that. Because we wanna know what God says about finances, right? We're followers of Jesus Christ. And so we want to know what God has to say about how he wants us, especially as members and regular attenders, how does God want us to use the finances that he provides for us. We're not looking to manipulate anybody. We're not looking to guilt anybody in. If you're feeling that, it's not me trying to do that. Maybe the Lord's convicting, maybe, but not trying to do that at all. We just want to know what God's word has to say about giving and then trust him to do whatever it is that he's going to do in through us. And so if this is your first time with us, you might coming to church and you're talking about money again. We rarely talk about money. The only time we talk about money is if it's in the passage. We're just taking this 4 weeks And as we kind of head into a four-year capital campaign over and above giving to accomplish what we believe God's calling us to do, and as the Lord provides, we'll adjust and make hopefully wise choices. But just know this about our church. We don't talk a whole lot about money, but our desire is to see people come to faith in Christ. That's what we're all about. That's what Jesus came for, and that's what we want to do. So if you're looking for a church, just know that that's the kind of church we're about. And we'll hear about that a lot because, again, that's what Christ wants us doing. So last week, through a parable that Jesus taught in Matthew 25, we learned from him that everything that we have belongs to him. And then we're supposed to invest that into his mission, into his business, air quotes, business, which is him building his church, church being people, and so him drawing people to himself for salvation. So everything we have is his, he gives to us so that we can invest it into seeing other people come to faith in Christ. That's what a whole life is about once you've placed your faith in Christ. So today we want to talk about how do we do that? What's the attitude behind our giving? And we're going to look at a couple passages for that. But before we do this, I want to address some wrong teaching on giving and then summarize some biblical teaching. So one of the wrong teachings we have out there, and this is why some people think the church is all about money, because if they watch a lot of different TV churches or, you know, live stream type church, whatever, there's a lot of churches that are about this. And we call it the health and wealth gospel. But basically the idea there is that they pull from Scripture that God wants us to be healthy and wealthy. And then, based on that, as we pray in faith, God's obligated, which is a dangerous word when it comes to God. We never do anything that obligates God to do anything, right? But they would say that it obligates God to answer our prayer for health and wealth. The problem is, the only person who's getting wealthy off of that is the person in leadership, the person teaching, and maybe some of the leadership of the church, because people are giving away everything, selling everything to give to the church because they have this wrong understanding. It was, if I do this, God's going to give me a bunch of money back. Again, the only one getting rich off that is the person who's preaching it. Because the Bible doesn't teach that, okay? The Bible also doesn't teach what the faith talk or the faith thought people say we teach, which is the poverty gospel. So they swing back and say, well, you guys think there's a poverty gospel, and that is that God wants you poor and unhealthy because he wants you to depend on him. Again, that's what we're called. That's what they say we teach. But again, not in the Bible. So therefore, we don't teach that either. Wrong teaching oftentimes has a little bit of truth in it, wrapped by a lot of wrong teaching on it. So I'm just going to summarize in five quick points before we get into this other, just the biblical teaching on giving. And that's this. We learned this last week. The first two we learned last week. Everything we have belongs to Jesus. It's given to invest in drawing people to him. It's not given to us to invest in us. It's given to us to invest in others. Now, it could be our family, so, you know, home and a car or two or a vet. You know, I keep bringing that up. But it's to be given to us from God to invest. He gives some more money than others, and he gives others less money than others. We have poor believers, we have middle-class believers, we have rich believers, we have really rich believers. I mean, the Bible talks to both of them. Just because however amount of money God's allowing you to have, however he's directed you in your career or, you know, whatever, it's still the same responsibility just with the amount of money that he gives you, okay? He wants to bless us, biblical teaching. And he wants us dependent on him. We've talked about this a lot. A lot of times you think, well, God's just giving me stuff so I can just go ahead and do whatever it is I want to do in my life. No. No, spiritual maturity is greater dependence on God. And so he wants to bless us, but he wants us dependent on him as well. And he wants us to pray in faith, but it has to be according to his will. We don't pray for things that are not according to his will, because he's not going to give us those things. Why would he give us things that are going to hurt us? Why would he give us the things that are not going to allow us to accomplish whatever it is he wants to accomplish? And so it takes both of those. So we have to know what God says, what God's will is when it comes to the finances that he gives us, and that's why we want to talk about that today. And so a lot of people talk about, or they'll mention the word tithe. I mean, you guys are familiar with the word tithe. A bunch of you, yeah. And so people, I'll give a tithe, you know. So let's just address the tithe issue real quickly, and then go from this. Tithe, which comes out of the Old Testament, just simply means 10%. And so God commanded Israel to give 10% of their goods, their cattle, their grains, and their finances. That money was actually brought to the temple, and then it was dispersed amongst all the different priests and temple workers. Because the priests weren't given land, all the other people of Israel were. And so they were given all that so they could, you know, support themselves. God also commanded Israel to give multiple tithes. Now, if you're doing the math, depending on just reading what other people have done in the study on this, it's anywhere from 23 to 25%. 10%. 20, you know, it would be 10, 20, 30. I didn't read into the whole, I had a long week myself, and so I wasn't going to read, you know, what is it, well, 23%. I think 23 out of 10%. Anyways, but there's multiple tithes. So it wasn't just 10% that Israel was supposed to give. It was multiple 10% that they were supposed to give. But and he also commanded that they give over and above. So when we think tithe, a lot of people are like, whew, you know, 10%, that's all I need. No, based off what? Well, the Old Testament. Well, if you're talking about the Old Testament, you're talking almost 25% of your income plus over and above. So again, we need to understand what God is talking about here. Now, this is explained throughout Scripture, but there's one verse that kind of summarizes it for us. So I want to read that for you real quick. Out of Deuteronomy. There you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, again, 10% of goods, and your money. The contribution of your hand, that just means it's kind of a symbolic thing. When they came in with their offerings, they would kind of raise it up as if they're giving it to the priest so the priest could eat it. You know, again, it's for them. They're not worshiping the priest. They're worshiping God by supporting the priest. Your votive offerings, which is after a person makes a vow to God, or if they're going to make a vow, they give an offering first. Your free will offerings, that's the over and above gifts, based on your gratitude for what God has done for you. And the firstborn of your herd and your flock. So, Old Testament, that's what the Jews had to do under the Mosaic law, as God directed them. Well, then Jesus came. God the Son became man. He lived a perfect life. And by living the perfect life, he fulfilled the law for us, on our behalf. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5. Paul talks about it in Romans 10, Galatians 3, Ephesians 2. And the idea there is when we place our faith in Christ, he has already fulfilled the law, so it's as if we've already fulfilled the law, so therefore we don't have to keep the law. So for New Testament believers, we're freed in Christ from keeping the law. So there's no required 10%. And we're like, woohoo, all right, don't have to give 10% anymore. Yes! All right. Well, we're freed from that, but we're not freed from the responsibility to give. All right, so freed from the 10%, which actually is more like 25% over and above giving as well. So a lot of people want to pull from the Old Testament. We're freed from the Old Testament. Some people would say, well, a tithe is a good place to start. Fine. I mean, that's not a bad way to look at it too, but it's not a requirement that we give 10%. So, knowing that, we want to look at what our attitude is, and again, you know, how is it that we're supposed to be giving, what our attitude is. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians for a little bit, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians for the remainder of the time. Let me just give you the background. So, there's some persecution going on in Jerusalem. So, the believers in Jerusalem are being persecuted. Some are scattering. That's how churches are getting started. And so Paul is going around to the different churches and saying, hey, we need for you guys, over and above your regular giving to your church, we need you to meet the needs of the believers in Jerusalem. And so he's already talked to the people in Macedonia, which is present-day Greece. And so he's talked to those churches already. And then he comes to Corinth. He writes a letter to Corinth and said, hey, listen, there's a need that's going on in Jerusalem. We want you guys, as the other churches are doing, to put some money together in order to help out your brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians, he's telling them about the need and then also giving them some advice on how to get ready to, you know, put that need together or to meet the need. And in 2 Corinthians, it's a year later, and he's saying, hey, my team's coming through. They're going to pick up the money to go take to Jerusalem, so I just want to give you a heads up. We're coming. And he uses the Macedonians' belief, the Macedonians' gift, or the way they gave, as an explanation for the Corinthian believers on how they should be giving. Now, he talks about believers in Macedonia, churches in Macedonia. He talks about believers and churches in Galatia, and he talks about the church in Corinth. So we call this a universal truth, in the sense that every church, every believer in church should be having this, these principles, as kind of their focus as they give. All right? So first, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 16, just verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, now concerning the collection for the saints, again, the ones in Jerusalem, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. So this is present-day Turkey, just if you're kind of into geography. On the first day of the week, first day of every week, which would be Sunday, that's when they met, back then they were all, basically all of them were paid per week. And so he's thinking, per week, go ahead and give. Each one of you is to put aside, this is a command, a present imperative or a present command, meaning continually do this week in, week out, don't stop doing this, and save. So you're putting it aside and saving it. But save as he may prosper. So as a person prospers, now we know everything comes from God, so therefore as God has caused them to prosper, that amount, whatever they decided, is to be put aside and saved for this gift that they're going to give, so that no collections be made when I come. So what Paul is basically saying here is, I want to give you, I want you to kind of think through this, and then I want you to take time to give. I don't want this to be a quick thing, all right? So then he goes on into 2 Corinthians. So a year later, they've hopefully been giving for a year, setting it aside, and he's hoping that they have done this. And so he says this, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace, or this gift of God, which has been given, now he's talking about the finances here, the financial gift, financial grace, of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, primarily Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, which is present-day Greece, all right, that in a great deal of affliction, so these churches were facing great persecution, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, and that word there actually means, if we were to use it today, means dirt poor, all right? So, again, God gives some people the ability to make more money. God gives some people the ability to make less money. These guys had less money. They were dirt poor. The believers in Corinth probably made more money. It was kind of a metropolitan area, a lot of businesses going on. Philippi was the same way, but the believers were being persecuted there more than they were in Corinth. Overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. So there is this joy, despite their poverty, despite their persecution, that motivated them to be generous. That makes no sense, right? When we're feeling persecuted, when we're having struggles, the tendency is, I'm not going to do what I need to do because I'm going through a difficult time. I need to back off on those so I can pay the bills. No, these guys, there was joy in order to keep giving in spite of their circumstances. For I testify that according to their ability, so from the little they had, and beyond their ability, so they sacrificed more of what little they had, they gave of their own accord. So they gave willingly. Nobody was forcing them. Paul wasn't twisting their arm. It wasn't making him feel bad. He just said, hey, here's the need. Here's what God wants you to do. You guys do whatever it is that God's called you to do. Begging us with much urging. So again, Was Paul saying, hey, listen, you guys are being persecuted, you have a whole lot of money, so you guys don't feel like, you know, don't feel like you need to give. But they're like, no, we want to give. We're begging with much urging for the favor of participation and the support of the saints. They wanted to be a part of meeting the needs, whatever level they could, of their brothers and sisters, who they didn't even know, by the way, probably, in Jerusalem. And this, not as we had expected. But why were they so willing to sacrifice? Well, they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. That was the will of God. They would give themselves to the Lord first and then to Paul and his team as they were going to be transferring all that. So again, they believed that everything came from God. So therefore, they were supposed to respond the way God wanted them to respond. And so from that, we get a series of attitudes or a series of ways that we should be giving as believers. First one is this: give consistently. That comes out of 1 Corinthians. So we should be giving. It should be the first bill that we pay. Some of us get paid once a week. Some of us get paid twice a month. Some of us get paid once a month. Some of us are paid on commission. Whenever you get that paycheck, then the principle is the first thing you set aside should be whatever it is that you've committed to God to give. First, taking care of your local church, the church that you're a part of, which is what they were doing in the first century, plus the over and above, and as we're talking about a bold move, the over and above giving. So that should be the first thing we do. The Old Testament talks about first fruits, you know. But that should be our first inclination, is to set that aside. We're supposed to set it aside as God has prospered. They did it as God prospered them. So we're supposed to do it as God prospers us. So therefore, like I was saying before, oh good, no 10%, that's awesome. No, we're supposed to make a decision to the extent that God has blessed us, to the level, meet the level of God's provision in our lives. And so, if you're like me, you're sitting there going, huh? What number is that? Right. What number is that? What number would be for you? What number would be for me? I don't know. Where do we find out? Second Hesitations 5:6 will tell us. Just kidding, it's not a book. You and your spouse, if you're married, and your family, man, bring your kids in on this, it would be a good training thing. Get with God. Spend time with Him. Review your budget. Review what it is that God says about the things that He has given you. Kim and I are doing that. This week is the big week for us. We've been looking at and talking about our budget. And for Kim and me, it's very casual. We don't sit down. We don't have a spreadsheet. And a lot of it's in Kim's head. And then I try to look through her eyeballs to see what it is that we're doing with our money. We're going to have a conversation this week based off of what she's been praying about and I've been praying about. And we'll make a determination before the Lord. And as God's prospered us. Man, I hate that. Don't you? Just give me the 10%. That's a lot easier, because then I got all my bills. Here's 10%. Hit that one first. No, as God has prospered us, as we spend time with God, and as God lays on our hearts and our minds based on what it is He's given us, based on what we understand Him to be wanting us to do with all the stuff He's given us, we make the choice. Moving into 2 Corinthians then we give as a gift from God. These people, it was a grace of God that was given through the Macedonian church to the believers in Jerusalem. And so the only thing that comes to my mind, you know, construction background, I guess, is a conduit. Everyone understands what a conduit is? You know, a piece of pipe and you run wrong wire through it or whatever. I go through it, but that's besides the point. My kids loved it when I was a kid. You run wire, so you have wire here and it comes out that side. We're a conduit. We have everything that God has given us, and it runs through us, and it's given to other people. It's a gift of God given through us to people who need it. And we get this, right? If you're a parent, or like in my case, I don't know if I ever did this with my kids. I probably did. But I remember when I was a kid, 5 or 6 years old, it's Christmas time. Mom needs some shoes. And so I go to the store. Okay, you guys didn't get it. The Christmas shoes story? Okay, it was a bad joke. That's why you didn't laugh. Okay. The 9 o'clock people, I had to calm them down. They were... Okay, I appreciate that. Let's be honest today, shall we? Okay. No. But no, when I was a kid, 5 or 6 years old, whatever, I wanted to buy my mom something for Christmas. And so I had seen at the store at some point like this brooch. And so I wanted to buy. So what did I do? At 5 or 6 years old, I went and, you know, went to work and, you know, earned a few extra bucks, a little overtime. And no, I went to my dad, right? I'm like, Dad, I want to buy Mom this brooch. And so I didn't know what it was called at the time. I know now. But so we go to the store, which is probably the only time my dad and I ever went to the store that was not a lumber yard. And I said, hey, I want to buy this for Mom. And so, okay, so what does he do? He gives me the money. I give it to the lady behind the counter. She gives me the gift. And my mom opens it up. And I secure my position as the favorite son. Huh? Thank you very much. Not sure what this has to do with the sermon. I just want you to know I was my mom's favorite son. No, I was kidding. No, I gave my mom this gift. And then my mom opens it up. And she is so blessed that someone would think about giving her a gift. But it wasn't really for me, right? My dad was the one who paid for it. Nobody cares about that. It's the impact that it makes. Same thing for us. God gives us the finances. We're the conduit. We go to the counter, we purchase the stuff, and we give it to somebody else as a gift. And so these people were living out Matthew 25, which is what we talked about last week. Everything belonged to God. God gave it to them. And they didn't have a whole lot, but from what they did have, they gave. And so our giving, regular giving and bold move, we need to understand and see it as a gift from God to others. And as it pertains to bold move, it's those who are going to come to faith in Christ. Those who God's going to allow us to share the gospel with and see them come to faith in Christ. And then they're going to join our church family. And our church family, Lord willing, will continue to expand and more people will come to faith in Christ. Secondly, we're supposed to give sacrificially. The Macedonian believers gave despite their difficult circumstances. They were persecuted. They were dirt poor. They gave according to their ability and over and above their ability to give. Take time this week and read Paul's letter to the Philippian church and his letters to the Thessalonian church. Because those are two of the churches that were in Macedonia that were dirt poor and persecuted. And read the spiritual condition of those churches. These are three books, two churches, that were praised for being spiritually mature. Because they got it. They understood they were there to impact their region for Christ. They sacrificed to do that. And then they also were able to sacrifice and help a church out in Jerusalem. Next, they're supposed to give joyfully. Again, despite their terrible situation, they were full of joy to be able to do what they were doing. And so I was kind of thinking about this. You know, how do I bring this to light? And the only thing I can think of is right away, anytime I read joy in the Bible, I think of Jesus' prayer in John 17, where Jesus says, basically, do life the way I'm saying to do it, and I will make my joy full in you. These people were just doing what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ was poor. He was persecuted. They're just giving some finances. He literally gave his life on the cross for them, for you, and for me. And so they were trying to be as much like Christ as they could, by sacrificing for the sake of others. That Jesus' level joy is supernatural. That's how they could have it. It was God giving them the joy to do that. They were on board with his plan. They were committed to his purpose. And so then God empowered them to do it. And in that, they were experiencing the joy of Jesus Christ. You know, for us, when we're when we're going through life and we're squeezed out by the stuff that's going on in our lives, whatever comes out of us, you know, or how we're squeezed, something's going to come out of us. What's coming out of us? Hopefully joy, because we're doing it the way God wants us to do it. And so they were able to grow in their relationship with him. They understood him better. They had a deeper relationship. And Paul said how this strange combination brought them to a point of to overflow in liberality. And that word, we think liberality, we think like being generous, and it's actually not so much that. The word for liberality means to be single-focused or have a single purpose. And so there was a wealth of liberality. There was an over and abundance of being able to be committed or to follow through with what they have committed to do. So as they, individuals, families, individual people, committed whatever it was they're going to commit to God in order to send to Jerusalem, God then met that, gave them what they needed, and instead of going, oh, wow, I got some extra money this month, they were like, no, I'm going to be a person of integrity. I'm going to fulfill my commitment. And so they gave whatever it was that God had given them based on what they had committed to doing. And so as we do that in our lives, as we commit, again, whether it's for our regular giving or the bold move that we're challenging everybody to jump on, regular tenors and members, we have to come before God, figure out what it is that he wants us to do, and then believe that he's going to give us that. He's going to provide for us. And then we follow through, and we give that. The next one is that they gave willingly. They gave according to their ability. They gave over and above their ability. That word dunamis, if you have my notes, it says used two times in Scripture. I meant two times in this Scripture. But they had their ability to give, and then over and above their ability, that's a supernatural working of God. That's dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. But it's always in relationship to God doing something in us. Again, what we have from God, everything we have is from God, given to us to be used. And so their desire to give and their ability to give is all empowered by God. God's going to back them up. It's like my dad backing me up because I want to give a gift to my mom. God's going to back us up. He's going to follow through with the commitment that we make. And so we should look forward. And as we look forward, we're supposed to be eager to give. That's what these individuals were. They gave eagerly. They begged Paul with much urging. Again, I think Paul was probably saying, which I'm sure a lot of people would do that in a situation, hey, listen, you guys are being persecuted. You guys don't have a lot of money. So, you know, just sit this one out. The other churches will take care of it. They're like, no. No, we want to be a part of what God's doing. We want to be part of that solution. We want to be meeting the need. They wanted to participate. That's that word koinonia. Are you familiar with that word? If you've been part of church, you've heard koinonia? It means fellowship. We think right away, oh yeah, sitting down and having a meal with somebody or having people in the fellowship hall and have a big meal with our church. Biblical koinonia is not just sitting down having a meal. Biblical koinonia is becoming close and intimate in relationship because of struggles, because of trials. It's believers working together, going through difficult times together, walking through difficult times together, and they grow together, and they grow together in Christ. And so, we want to participate. We want to be involved in this. We want to connect with our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem in a spiritual way as much as we can. And so we should be looking ahead again, like we're talking about, we should be looking ahead to those that the Lord's going to allow us to interact with and those who are going to come to faith in Christ and be giving eagerly because we want to see God work in and through us to draw people to him and get to know those people. And then the last thing, it's kind of sums it all up. How did they do this? Why did they do this? Well, because they gave themselves to the Lord first. When they came to faith in Christ, they had given their lives to the Lord. When we came to faith in Christ, we gave our lives to the Lord. We were a child, became a child of God. We became a servant of Jesus, our Lord. And so everything they had, everything we have, belongs to God. Everything he's given us, he wants us to use in order to help Christ build his church, to be used by Jesus to build his church. I don't know if you notice, but there's no mention of the amount of money they raised. We don't know. We don't know how much money the Macedonian believers put together to send to Jerusalem. We don't know how much the church at Corinth or the churches in Galatia. We don't know any of that. Why? Because it doesn't matter. What matters is that we as followers of Jesus Christ give ourselves to Christ in this area of our finances. It's a heart issue. And I think this is why some believers struggle with this, because they know this is a heart issue. You're going to have to get with God this week. If you're a member or regular attender of our church, especially members, you got to get with God this week. You and your spouse, if you're married, you and your kids, if you have kids, and you're going to have to ask him the question, what do you want us to do? I can't give you that answer. Just like you can't tell me what Kim and I are going to give. It's our heart. How do we want God to work in and through us? It's the harder way of going about this. Again, I'm the kind of guy, I just want to, give a spreadsheet, man. Just give me a 10% and I'll go from there. So what should we take away? A couple easy things. One is, again, prayerfully evaluate your attitude about giving. You know, and we'll talk about bold move, and of course we have our weekly or our regular giving. But if you're hearing this and you're struggling with this, you need to spend time studying this out. Come to terms with, okay, God, what's my attitude towards the money that you've provided me? Again, I can't answer that for you. You get to have an interaction with God, your Father, to find out how it is he wants you to use the money that he's given you. And then secondly, take a commitment card or some on the seats or some out in the lobby if you haven't already taken one. Take one home. Think about it. Then make your decision. So that's an example of the card. Choose how often you're going to give. Weekly, you could do it monthly. You could do it yearly. You could do a one-time thing. Calculate that out for 4 years. Put your name on it. And then bring it back next week with... I forgot to finish that out. I apologize. With your first gift towards Bold Move. All right? Now, some of you guys say, well, I'm not going to be here next week. Okay, that's fine. Make that commitment today. Put it in the offering bucket. We'll put it with all the others that have come in. Some have already come in. Or bring it by sometime this week before you leave. But if you're not going to be here next week, we encourage you to do that. Next week, what we'll do is at the end of the service, we're going to have a song. We'll have everybody stand. We'll sing. We'll have some people with baskets that will just come down the aisle. And you can drop your card and gift in that as well. And then we'll get that all totaled up and figure out and see what it is that the Lord wants to do in and through us. Again, just as information's sake, everyone on 3 Capital Campaign has ended. So if you use Church Center app, you'll notice if you go back up, it's going to say Bold Move. I think you have to reconnect that with your giving. If you have any questions on that, you can still ask me and I'll get that figured out for you. But EO3 has ended. Bold Move is going to start. And you'll have to kind of do some different stuff on your Church Center app. Point is this, and I've said this before. This is a hard issue. This is what God wants you to work through for him. Whatever it is that God chooses to do through our church family, we're going to move forward in reaching people for Christ. We're going to trust him to provide for our needs. If the Lord wants to dump a bunch of money on us to do it, great. If God wants to do something else with buildings, great. If we're just trying to be faithful to what it is that God's called us to do, asking you who are members and regular attenders to do the same, and then we'll just continue to make wise, biblical decisions moving forward based on whatever it is that God provides through us. Sound good? Yeah, I'm bored with that at least? All right, let's go ahead and stand. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and for the opportunity to work through this and hear how it is that you want us to give. Lord, I think most of us would prefer just a number or a percentage. But Lord, what a great opportunity that we have, because you just want us to spend time with you. You want us to know your heart. You want us to take a step of faith and do whatever it is that we believe you've called us to do, and then stick to that and meet that commitment and let you work and provide. That way we get to know you better. We get to see you being faithful in our lives. We can trust you more. So Lord, thank you for knowing better than we do how this should happen. Help us to trust you. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks.